Welcome to Star Wars Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talk's website, the www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, we also co-broadcast on the Twitch network. So go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. That's SFUONCALL. Type that into your browser and you will join us there. I will be there. I'll be watching the chat room and I'll be happy to respond to any questions that come up. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my podcast account there is sfuoncall. Same spelling as the email address. And of course, on my personal account called Paul Franz. If you want to follow me, that's fine. Just remember that I'm really proud to be a Catholic, an O's fan, and I love technology. So if any of those bothers you, then you don't want to follow me. And of course, you can follow also the Franz Games, where you will find the latest information about what's happening at Franz Games when it comes to SFB Online, Starfleet Warlord, things like that. Of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. A new product has been put out in PDF form at the moment only. They will have it available in hard copy as soon as they get the new counters in. That should be happening next month, if I recall correctly. And that is SFB module R4T. Yes, we do have a new module from ADB. Also, very soon, because they said it was out, but I had not seen it, which is the Starfleet Marines Battle Manual. That'll be out very, very soon. And actually, there was quite hot and heavy discussion. Well, not hot and heavy. Poor way of wording it, but an active discussion going on in the Starfleet Marines section of the discussion board. So, you know, we can quite a bit there. I even came up with an idea of what I thought would be a really cool scenario, which was the Branthanon. I think I got that right. Where basically that you have a facility which is, you know, takes care of the hatchlings from the dragons. And have it so that the dragons actually can engage with the soldiers. So, you know, kind of a monster on soldiers kind of thing. And I think that would be awesome to do something like that. I give another suggestion. I can't remember off the top of my head when it comes to supporting it. Oh, I know it was power armor. That was it. Power armor. Battle armor. Because I noticed that's one thing that was available in the Triangulum Galaxy, and it's like, you know, this would be kind of really cool, is have it so that had rules for battle armor, because normally, you know, Star Trek, you don't have battle armor, you know, they don't have that idea really that much, but in the one case of the I forgot what is the Empire, one of the Empires in the Triangulum Galaxy has power battle armor. And they have their special rules for it. So I thought, hey, that'd be good to add. So moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. The whole tournament, I keep forgetting. The Sapphire Star 7 tournament is over with Jack Taylor defeating Dana Medson. Congratulations, Jack. And I have not had a chance to finish reading your write-up of the game. It was quite a quick game compared to the last game. The semifinal game lasted like 13 turns, and the final game only lasted 4 turns. So it was actually a very relatively quick game. Some quick updates on SFU Online Client. I actually did a few fixes. There were some issues with the cadet room, which I fixed. I need to work on that a little bit and make it so that it's more. I'd like to possibly add the automated moving of the drones would be really cool, I think. So the person moves their ship and then the drones automatically move. I would love to see that. I got to see if I can do that also. Currently, it's got use the activity window. In theory, you don't for the beginning part, you shouldn't need to use the activity window because of you're just firing, bang, bang, bang. Now, the one thing you got to keep in mind though is that even if you don't have to do energy allocation, because that's one thing I looked at scenario number one, you don't have to do any energy allocation, so it doesn't matter. But you do have to keep track of the phasers that you have fired. So, and the whole idea is to get those phasers part of that scenario. The idea is to get those phasers into arc. So that's one of those things that I might have to add, you know, a little tutorial part add into that thing to tell you, hey, you know, that phaser is not in arc of that weapon of that target. So you cannot fire on him because there's no, it's relatively simple. You know, I've already got the code that actually can tell that. So when it comes to the library, no progress there. Actually, I just got a communique from the FedCom library person and I need to reply to him. So, but with that is news for this week. And it's me, this is the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Star for the Universe on call. And tonight, we've got me, of course. We got Barry, and we've got our good old friend Dave in the chat room, and must probably still join in the chat room over on Twitch, too, because I know he knows the way. So, just so you might actually want to hear Barry's voice. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, I'm alive. I'm here.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good, doing good, doing good. Yeah, you know, my son's going to be coming home tomorrow because he's all vaccinated and all, so that they're allowing visits now.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah, people are starting to get vaccinated now.
Yep.
I know my sister just got vaccinated and my mom just got vaccinated.
Yeah, just my wife and my son have gotten vaccinated. I haven't, and neither of my daughters have. And I'm sure my daughters are kind of low on the totem pole.
I know my daughter, my one daughter is not going to get vaccinated until she's absolutely certain, because she has heard that there's some questions as to whether the vaccine can affect fertility.
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
That would only affect women, right, of that age.
Yes. Oh, understood. Understood. What was the one? I think it was... I'm thinking that it was the Johnson & Johnson that there might have been a question about issues with a woman being... if a woman was pregnant. Is that the one or what are the other ones? But I know there was but anyhow,
either way, she's like, you know, she doesn't want to take that chance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. Okay, let's put that over there. Okay, cool. Well, moving on to less.
Yeah, weighty matters.
Well, less weighty issues. You know, because I'm sure people don't tune into the podcast for a full downer, man. It's like, really? It's dragging me down. So, you sent forth from from your little fingers a little piece of wording, a document, I think one would say. Now, for those of you who have listened to the podcast before, if I recall correctly, we actually have already discussed a previous revision of Barry's ideas on second-generation X-Ship rules, some of the additional systems that could be added to the second generation, and to have it so that the way the second-generation ships worked differently than first generation, of course, general war ships.
Yeah. So when they first came out with second generation ships in Module X2, and that was what, back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh well, we're going to revisit this soon because this is just like a preliminary." Supplement, and there's a lot of stuff that, there's going to be stuff that needs to be improved. Don't worry, we're going to be coming out with something real, real soon now.
Yeah, we'll have corrections and addendums and all that kind of thing to fix up any issues that we had with the second generation rules. And that 20 years later,
never happened.
Yep.
More than 20 years later.
Oh, I know. I'm more than 20 years now. Jeez.
It's over 30. Over 30. It's close to 35 years.
Yeah. The original, I have to double check to see when the original one came out. I know it was in the 70s, was the original Starfleet Battles, if I recall correctly. Because I know the Commander's Edition was available the first time I ever saw it was like, I think, 1984
or 84.
85. I forget when John DeWeese, was it John DeWeese? Yeah, it was John DeWeese that introduced me to Starfleet Battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us playing in Calhoun Hall, let me think. Jeez, I forget. Calhoun Hall, that would have been definitely not my freshman year. It was one of the tall ones. It was one of the oldest buildings when it comes to the dorms at Drexel University. I think Calhoun, I was there. I think it was pre-junior year. So I was playing it in like 1986. Yeah, that would be 86. Mm-hmm. Was when I started playing. At least that's when I remember playing it in Calhoun Hall. So.
Right.
Yeah. And then my junior year and my senior year, that's when I got into the towers. I can't believe I remember all this. Wow.
Yeah, your brain was very good at forming memories, long-term memories.
Yeah, back in the days of college, geez, 18, 19, 20. Yeah. Dang, got it, man. That was when I was going to Drexel University in Philadelphia. That's when they had the second move confrontation. That was interesting. Because I remember sitting in my room at the towers and looking out the window and seeing the smoke. So, yeah, that was... And I'm just glad I wasn't there for the first one, which was actually across the street from Drexel University in Palantir Village. But anyway... Dang it. Dragging down memory lane. Oh.
Mm.
But getting back to the second generation next chips, there were some interesting ideas that
you came up with. Yeah, I'm just throwing stuff out there, see if anything sticks.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Just throwing ideas out there to see if anything sticks. Or
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Different ideas. For those of you who are familiar with Attack Vector, some of this might sound a little familiar, at least the idea of it. Don't mind me. I'm trying to organize things here. Okay. Most part, the impulse chart remained the same from last revision, which is based, for those of you who are not there, it uses a 64 impulse chart versus a 32 impulse chart. Personally, I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not. Not because of it makes it easier for the faster movement. For me, it's more of an issue with
client?
No, not the client at all. The client can handle it. It is the impulse activity. Because now what you're saying is that you can react twice as fast, is what you're saying, for the same amount of time.
Well, now... there was a very specific reason why I did that, and the very specific reason was that second generation X chips can do impulse activity on odd impulses and even impulses, whereas non X chips can only do impulse activity on even impulses. So that gives a lot of flexibility and capabilities to X ships,
mm-hmm.
because they can do things on the odd impulses. Things are moving faster than speed 32. There's going to be certain like drones or plasmas that are moving very rapidly. As far as the non-X ship is concerned, it could move two hexes between firing opportunities, and they might not get a chance to shoot at a drone or a plasma at range one. It may go straight from range two to hit, whereas a second gen X ship would have that firing opportunity.
Mm-hmm. True. So
that was the purpose of that.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Now, the power systems, I must admit, some of it I definitely like. Thank you. And that is that the power systems basically generate double power. They generate 2 points of power. I kind of like that idea. And here's why I like that idea. And that is that you can increase the amount of power generated for an X ship without increasing the number of boxes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that part I do like. And I think that definitely has good, very much merit when it comes to second generation X ships. Now, Barry and I discussed this a little bit before the show, and that is about this is kind of weird, which is power can be generated during EA or in the middle of a turn. Typically, a ship won't use full power of capacity during EA. Basically, what you're giving it is for all the... okay. This goes back many years, and I remember hearing about this, which was there was a misunderstanding way back when about energy allocation and the idea of that if you didn't use all your energy during energy allocation, you then could use it later on as you wish later on in the turn. And it's like, no, that's not how reserve power works. You know, but in this case,
right,
that's exactly what you are giving as an idea,
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say is basically that the supposition that if you don't allocate all of your energy at the beginning of the turn. Now, at the beginning of the turn, you have to allocate all the energy for movement. I'm assuming I have not seen what is the minimum requirement when it comes to EA about what you must allocate.
No. You can do unplotted movement on reserve warp power, and you can get more reserve warp power by generating by recharging the batteries. So what I did was I limited, you can generate, let's say a second generation ship has five battery boxes. And let's say those five battery boxes have been empty for a while. I can generate 5 points of warp power and then immediately use it for unplotted speed changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the point I mean is that and then in energy allocation, you still have to do a speed plot for the full turn and pay for the cost
Correct.
Of that speed for the full turn versus
Correct.
The whole idea of I'm only going to plot half my turn. The energy for movement for half the turn.
No.
And then later on, I'll add to it. You know, no. And that brings up the question, and that is, with a system that you're proposing, which is, what systems would be required a minimum requirement for that had to be allocated during energy allocation?
Well, certainly multi-turn arming weapons.
Right.
You couldn't, which means, you'd have to, during EA.
Right, which gives it, which gives it even a, gives single-turn arming weapons even a bigger benefit than they previously had. Because now.
Let me
finish the thought, which is, given that you don't have to allocate energy to those weapons, and then now, previously in SFB, not Fed Combat, SFB, for those single-turn armed weapons, you still had to charge those weapons in energy allocation if you wanted to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're giving them the additional flexibility to only allocate energy to them when they want to fire them, at the moment of firing.
Well,
that's what you're
that
doing.
Sense, but it doesn't have much more capability than a standard ship, and standard ships can do that to a certain extent. I can arm disruptors on batteries,
right?
In a standard ship, the Klingon DC. Seven or I usually use tournament cruisers. So a tournament cruiser with five battery boxes, which is standard, can use all five battery boxes to arm its disruptors. Now you only can arm one overload or two standards doing that because that's all the power you have.
Right.
The second generation X ship only has five power and batteries, so it could only do the same amount. Now, it has the capability of four impulses later of recharging those batteries and then doing it again.
So wait a minute.
And then four impulses later, recharging those batteries and doing it again.
Okay, so what you're saying, let me see if I understand what you're saying, is basically that you can dynamically use that energy that you have not pre-allocated, but the only way you can use that is through charging the batteries. You have to, the energy has to go in the batteries first before you actually can use the unallocated energy.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's in there.
Mm-hmm. I know. But, you know, remember, Barry, people on, this is a podcast. That means people are listening, not watching, yeah, not reading. They're listening.
Can't see the document. Yes, correct. I know. So what happens, the process is, if you discharge a battery, there's a four-impulse delay before you can recharge that battery. And basically you use the battery power, and then four impulses later, you can then use unused warp or other power to recharge those batteries. So over a period of time, you could charge single turn arming weapons,
mm-hmm,
on reserve, but you couldn't do it all at once.
Right. Okay. Now, another thing that the Barry has it is that, okay, max speed for ships is speed 41, which is,
mm-hmm,
which is fine. You know, the whole idea of second generation X ships can move even faster than first generation, or, you know, before it. I've seen issues,
yep,
with that. It's interesting. Yeah. Now, this is where we go off towards some ideas coming in from Attack Vector. And that is, as states here, there is a thermal capacity and thermal dissipation system. Basically, generating power generates heat. That heat must be dissipated. Each ship has the ability to temporarily store heat up to a limit, and this is beyond, that is beyond the capability, that is beyond the capability to dissipate. Now, as I said, you know, that's something from Attack Vector system, where the everything, you no longer have to worry about energy. At least not as much. Your biggest concern is heat, just like in BattleTech. BattleTech, your number one concern is usually it's not ammo, it's not your weapons, it's heat. And that's why I always, in BattleTech, where you wanted to be was standing in a lake and firing your weapons, because the dissipation within a lake is greatly. What's that?
Yeah, you get a hot, steamy lake, though. But
true. And you might have some boiled fish at the end of all said and done. But the whole idea, right, was that you could quickly dissipate the heat that was being generated by these weapon systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same, right, idea with Attack Vector, is that the limiting factor was not energy. It was heat. And I know we talked about before, which is the Honor Harrington system, where they basically have these heat sinks which are kept inside the ship while you're in battle. And one way to say you concede
that was
is
not in the Honor Harrington. Harrington, they didn't care about heat.
Okay,
but that was Attack Vector.
Okay, so it was Attack Vector. In that universe, to basically identify that you're surrendering is that you put out your heat sinks. You know,
right.
Because, you know.
Yeah, because radiators are delicate.
Right, exactly.
If you take a hit with your radiators out, you're basically toast.
Exactly. So you're not going to fly around with them out. No.
If they're not, if you lose your radiators, you're dead. So, and they're delicate. So you have to keep them inside the armor to protect them. And if you run out of heat storage and now you have to dissipate, you put your radiators out and you say, okay, I've surrendered.
Right. Exactly. Now, as Brian and I discussed earlier, I think it's an interesting idea, but the one thing that I have a problem with this whole idea, mm-hmm. myself, is mm-hmm. that any generation of power creates heat, whether it is
mm-hmm.
you know, one point of power or it's, you know, 70 points of power. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like that people who don't use up, you know, don't overtax the energy system, you know, not you know, putting nitro into the energy system to juice up the amount of power that you're using, shouldn't cause it to generate any heat. And the only reason I say that, and here's the reason why I say this, and that is, this is a new mm-hmm. dynamic that's being added to second generation X ships. So it's one of those things that you didn't have to worry about with first generation X ships. In my mind, unless you're pushing it where you need, where you're using that additional energy, you know, in this case, you know, both points of power from the from that energy system, then you shouldn't be penalized, you know, by generating heat, because previously they were able to handle the heat with just, you know, the one point of power.
Well, keep in mind that I'm basically saying that your heat dissipation is probably not been improved from non-X ships. So, but your power generation has been. So if your heat dissipation exceeds your power generation, then heat is never an issue. You can always dissipate more than you can generate. Why even monitor? Keep track of that. But now, where you can exceed your dissipation rate, then they had to add additional storage to allow you to run your engines hotter than they normally would run. And you can go that way for a little while, but then you have to back down because you eventually... you've exceeded your dissipation rate and you run out of storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it basically, what I was looking for was a dynamic of not giving the ships extra power, but, and allowing them to really increase their power, but only for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, but as I pointed out earlier, well, pre-show, that is that currently the system that you set up, if you have your heat dissipation boxes in place, if you don't overtax the amount of energy that you're producing, you should be able to easily dissipate it. But normally, but in pre-second generation, you didn't even generate enough heat that would that you had you required dissipation boxes.
Well, here's another way of looking at it. Second generation, they improved the heat storage capability. Let's say in non-X ships, heat storage equals your energy generation. A ship. Okay. At, and the heat dissipation exceeded that. Then at that point, that there's no sense in keeping track of it. You're going to generate 1 point of power per box every turn. You don't have to worry about that. But they said, okay, we're generating, we're creating a new generation. How can we get these engines to produce more power? Well, the problem is that they need more heat storage. We figured out how to improve the heat storage capability, but we haven't really improved the heat dissipation capability. So now we can get more power, but only for a while.
Well,
run into that.
Well, basically, what you're saying is that second generation X ships have their power systems are running hotter than first generation X, first generation power systems.
Right, and you have more storage capability, which allows them to run hotter.
Well, no. What you're saying is that with that increased output, there was increased heat generated, and we had no way of, they couldn't figure out how to dissipate the heat even better, you know, in at the same time when they increased the amount of power being generated by the, from the same system.
Well, actually, what I'm saying, what I'm saying is the storage went up.
No. What you're
storage
saying,
capability went up.
No, but previously there was no the first generation and general warships. They don't have any heat storage. They have no need for it because the heat dissipation is good enough so that when you generate the energy, it dissipates the heat immediately. So they're tied.
Well, yeah. It happened. But in my system, I'm saying that the generation happens at the moment you generate the power, and the dissipation happens at the end of turn.
Right. Which means that, in my mind, that means that the heat generated from the energy is more than can be handled by the dissipation system. There has a lag time now because there's too much heat being generated.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the thing that got me started on that was I was looking at it going, okay, I wanted to make ships that could handle a fairly large volley of incoming damage, improving the shield systems, where it could handle a fairly large volley and it could recover quickly. It was kind of like in Fed Commander where you can only use your however much you have batteries. That's the maximum amount of power you can use in reinforcement per impulse.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do that every single impulse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Fed Commander is...
five batteries even.
Yeah. Better Commander is a little bit different when it comes to the dynamicism of the weapons. You know, as I stated earlier,
right?
With FENCOM, that actually is true completely, which is single turn army weapons. You don't use the energy from you do not use the energy until you actually fire your single turn army weapons. you know, which is not quite the same as your system where it actually has to, had to go through the batteries.
I'm talking about the reinforcement system on the shields. And in FedCom, I think they were trying to avoid people having these massive bricks. But at the same time, they wanted to give you the ability to fight off this. That if somebody was just clinking with you, you could take that. Of course, there was a cost. I want to do some.
Don't get me started on FedCom because I don't think they solved the problem as well as they could have. And I know I know we've discussed it before. I've discussed it with you before, which is the whole idea of as soon as you have to do an energy allocation for your weapons, you lost them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the easiest FedCom game to play is one where you don't have multi-turn army weapons. That you have the energy, boom, you use it, and voila, it fires. You know, no tracking, just firing. But I understand the issue of porting something from Stealthy Battles to FedCom, where you're used to having that weapon system and the way the ships and the whole rules were designed, is that dynamicism changes the whole when you change it so that two turn arm weapon becomes a single turn arming weapon, then it completely changes. Or even if you have to track, even after you track that, you fired it last turn. The whole idea of FedCom was to minimize the amount of tracking that was required to do. That's
right.
Because that's one of those things that you do when you actually launch a seeking weapon. You tell them what the target is. They know what the target is. So, you know, that's one less thing that has to be... It kind of has to be tracked, but not nearly as much. You know, you don't have to say, okay, well, which one have I announced? You know, has people figured out what the target is? Which ones have they not? You know, keeping the amount of tracking down to a bare minimum. So, anyhow, moving back to the second generation X-Ship rules created. As I said, I like the whole idea of the doubling the energy output for a single box. I think that's awesome. The heat, I definitely using the whole idea of heat dissipation and heat storage. Obviously, adds a dynamic to Starfleet battles that wasn't there before. What are you going to say?
And I was looking at Orion engine doubling, and it's like, yeah, that kind of gives you the same effect, but it does permanent damage to your engines. Well, these are second-generation engines. You can run them doubled without doing permanent damage,
right,
but you still have to limit them that you can't run them doubled the whole time. So I needed to give it another limitation that would you can run it for doubled for a while, but it's going to start to run into limits at some point. And that was my way of giving it those limits.
Yeah, I see no reason not to do it, because one thing it kind of reminds me of is Andromedans to a certain degree.
Yeah.
In that you're, in this case, you're always going to be, we're concerned about that heat now when it comes to energy output, how much energy you use, and you know, how much you can generate and not fill up all your heat storage, which is the same thing for the comes to the Andromedans and their PA panels. And getting that energy out of the PA panels, you're constantly worrying about how to do that. In the case of this, you're going to be constantly concerned about the heat that you're generating. You know, that's one of those dynamics.
Yeah.
It's going to add a complexity. Now, obviously, is it for a good reason? I think if it's limited to additional energy, you know, more than the amount of, you know, one per box, then I think it's got a reason. And I think it better fits into Star Trek and doesn't make Star Trek into attack vector.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
it definitely creates, I like the idea of it because of it solves certain issues. And I said the one right up off the top of the bat, which I like, which is double amount of power for the same amount of boxes, which I think is a really good idea. Just off the bat,
right?
Because of, for anyone who's I've shown on the podcast before, which is the second generation X ships. And basically what they did was they just took current X ships and they bulked them up. The current cruisers and so forth, and they bulked them up when it comes to the number of boxes. And that just kind of defeats the purpose if you just double everything. You're not changing how the system's interact. You're not changing it. Because the whole idea of second generation X ships is that you have a different dynamic involved. You know,
right.
How you reinforce, how you defensive wise, what's the next generation defensive wise of how do you protect your ship? How do you attack the other ship? You know, how does that whole thing work? Do we all do what the Juggernauts did and say, oh, forget the shuttles, we just want shrieks? Yikes. I was reading up on the Juggernaut, which is these shrieks are like, these are freaking nasty. You know how the Hydrans, the fusion fighters, you know, they're considered roaming nuclear space mines?
Yeah.
Shrieks are that. They go speed 32. They take 12 points of damage to kill. And when they hit the ship, they do 35 points of damage. So they are truly roaming nuclear space mines.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately for everyone involved, when it comes to the Juggernauts and the Shrieks, they're only given two of them per scenario. So that's the only thing that will save your bacon.
Two launchers or two Shrieks total?
Two Shrieks total.
Oh, okay.
Because basically, they are, when they originally were shuttles that were transformed by the Juggernaut itself. That's one thing I did not okay. read more of the story on which is the return of the Juggernaut, but from reading the rules for the Juggernaut. When it comes to the scenario and the rules for the ship, when it comes to the beta, which was capsule number 33. From what I read from the rules, it indicates that originally the Juggernauts were actually manned ships. And then the crews died.
Mm.
But they're still the Juggernaut, the ships themselves were, you know, basically there's an AI in the ship, and they said, oh well, you know, after the crew dies, they kept on going. You know?
Right.
So, and from the one of the rules that I read for the beta, it seems like they communicate. So what happened to the alpha was communicated out, and the beta picked it up, and so he modified it the way it works. You know, that's when it got the idea of shrieks. That's where it went, oh, you know, the whole idea of having so the system that automatically moves the shield to whatever, you know, like if a ship uncloaks, it'll automatically go whoop, and block. You know, and the shield will face the uncloaking target. It turned that off. You know, so it's right. Learning from its engagements. You know, so. Anyhow, getting back to the second generation X ships, after we chased down that rabbit, okay. This is one of those things that I'm not quite sure I agree with completely, but I understand it because of the you had to change it, which is okay. Sorry, I need to tell you what that is that I'm looking at. Which is the battery boxes hold one power per box. So it went from, in the case of the first generation X-ships, 3 points of energy per box, back to 1 point of energy per box. Now,
right.
As an improvement, this makes no sense. But I understand the reasoning behind it, which is because of the whole... energy allocation that we talked about earlier, where
hang on. Oh boy.
You okay? ¿Cómo está? Barry,
I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry for about my Bluetooth headset decided. Oh, I'm just going to disconnect, and it wouldn't reconnect. So
did the Bluetooth, is it wireless? I mean, yeah. Is it wireless completely? As in, possibly your battery died. Still there? Folks, I think we lost Barry to the Bluetooth black hole.
There?
I can hear you now.
Now?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, my Bluetooth, unfortunately, my laptop was on and my Bluetooth kept jumping over to the laptop.
Ah, okay.
From the phone. And it's like, okay, I just shut the laptop off, and then it took me about a minute to get back. So okay. I probably missed you for a minute.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
So you were talking about the going from three boxes to one.
Right, which is actually...
Power to one per box.
Right, which is kind of a downgrade for second-generation X-ships. But as I was trying to say, which was that I can see why that's necessary... When it comes to the dynamic that you added by allowing unallocated energy to be funneled through the batteries to then be used.
Right.
And
so first of all, you can use the batteries more than once per turn. And the second thing is that I made shield reinforcement effective twice as effective in that the outer shields have a damage reduction factor. And if I put a point of power into reinforcing an outer shield, I also generate 1 point of reinforcement and 1 point of damage reduction factor. So that's not, now that reinforcement only lasts for that impulse. So basically what it means is that you look at how much damage was done, then you use the batteries to reinforce it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had given it just the 3 power, then say 5 batteries, 15 power, that's 30 points of damage I can stop just on the batteries in one volley.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I thought, excessive. And that was one of the problems they had with the second generation X ships, is they actually had 5 points of power doubled. You could soak a plasma R on batteries.
Right, right. Oh, understood.
And it's like, no. And now, with my current system, because I like the idea of having doubling, but I wanted to put limitations on it. But with a 3-point battery, I could soak a plasma S on battery. So I wanted to scale that back a little bit. On the other hand, I wanted to give it, but with the ability to recharge your batteries, you can do that more than once.
Mm-hmm.
In a turn. That was the other problem. You know, if you've got 15 points of batteries on a ship, it takes a, and I remember one battle, I was experimenting with a second generation X ship, and I actually got my ass handed to me. That was a first generation X ship from the supplements.
Hmm.
Okay, and those had 5-point batteries.
Is it?
And it was a Fed Heavy crew. What's that?
Is it? I'm pretty sure they've always had 3-point batteries for first generation X.
No. This was pre Commander's Edition.
Oh, okay.
This was the original.
Okay.
This was Supplement 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I had a Fed Cruiser with 25 points of battery power up against a Leering Lion Dreadnought,
mm-hmm.
and I had my ass handed to me. Because I didn't know what I was doing, and I kept recharging my batteries to the full 25 points during EA every turn, and I kept saying, oh, he fired all those disruptors and phasers at me, I'll take 50 points of damage off, or, sorry, 25 points of damage off, because those were single, because it was first generation X ship. I said, I'll just take the 25 points of damage off, and then I didn't have any power to do anything else, and I couldn't get away, and he did do more damage than I, you know, I just didn't have the power to soak all the damage and reinforcement. And
right. Well, you agree that you were playing it dumb, i.e.,
I was playing
focusing on recharging your batteries, then, you know. Putting stuff, power back in the batteries as you can do it, you know.
Right. What I needed to do was just say, okay, I'll just accept the shield damage, get the heck away, and then once I'm faster than he is, I can slowly recharge the batteries, get my ship ready, and then come in and nail him on a firing pass.
Right. Exactly.
Run away, recharge. But
exactly.
I didn't do that.
You need speed to get away, to maintain range, to actually have ability to not get as much damage. You know, going through all that.
We were also playing with plotted movement.
Cool.
It was pre Commander's Edition. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, understood. Understood. As
yeah.
I to this day, I still like pre-plotted movement. The whole idea of pre-plotted movement, not you know, not full turn of pre-plotted movement, but you know, like quarter turn
but
pre-plotted
quarter
movement.
Turn. So So I was looking at this going, well, the system I've got now, those 5 1-point batteries actually do quite a bit better, I think, than the 5 3-point batteries with the first generation X chips. Yeah, because I like the idea that they had in the supplement 2, where they said, oh, specific reinforcement counts twice. And it's like, okay, that's a good idea. It actually was. It's one of the, but it, it, they, when they combined it with 5-point batteries, it's like, no, it's too much.
Right.
And it's that's a very powerful idea, doing it that way. And you have to be careful the way I implemented it, because until all the damage reduction factor is used, you don't touch the reinforcement. So you have to wait until all your damage reduction factor is used up before you really want to start putting more in for batteries. And you have to put the battery power in at the beginning of the volley. You can't just say, okay, we'll wait halfway through the volley, now I add the batteries. No, 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 no. So if you put a point of reinforcement in too early, it, it adds the damage reduction, which go which gets used up, but then it doesn't get to the reinforcement, and the reinforcement goes at the away at the end of the impulse. Outer shield reinforcement is only can only be done with batteries, and it's it, it, it can you put it in at the beginning of the volley and at the end of the volley. At the end of the impulse, it's gone.
Right.
Yeah. For small volleys that that don't go through the damage reduction factor, probably just don't even bother. Because you're going to get that back at the end of the turn, at the beginning of the next turn, anyway. So I try to make the ships thicker without adding boxes.
Right,
next,
right.
The double energy and also the structural integrity field. Which was kind of like a leaky armor that regenerates. And the other thing I did with
I'm missing it. Where is that documented? Okay, there. Right, let's talk about the outer shields.
Near the bottom of the shields.
Okay. Okay, all second generation X ships have regenerating system stability field that provides some protection against internals. It is a way of making a ship tougher and survive better damage better without increasing the amount of working box on the ship. Unlike armor, the stability field is slightly leaky, but it does regenerate.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll die, roll 7. There's a stability field box on the left of the deck. Roll 6 and 8. There are 3 one-shot boxes. And roll 5 or 9. There's 2. Which is interesting. And die roll, there's one-shot boxes. And 12. There's no stability field protections. So you can you protect everything but the control systems.
Well, and I did that deliberately, because how often do ships ever go uncontrolled?
True.
This at least gives you a chance to get into that stuff.
Understood.
Yeah. So you got 20 boxes of that on a cruiser. And but I think you what it regenerates like 5 points per turn. Uh-oh, sorry, up to the no, up to the damage control rating. The 4 points per turn. But so the example I oh no, it's 15 boxes of it. So
But 15
I
boxes,
gave the
for a
example where you
cruiser,
took
yeah.
for a cruiser. So I gave an example where you got 20 points incoming, and the way it distributed, you actually use 14 points of your system stability field and left one left on the system stability field. So it was armor, but it was kind of leaky. And
I will admit that's definitely an interesting idea
Yeah.
for it, which is instead of basically for armor, it would be all boxes, basically any die rolls, it's hitting armor. It's just taking off armor. In the case
Right.
of the stability field, it's actually depends upon which the die rolls you roll, how thick, quote unquote, thick the armor is. Because these are single shots. So that if you have a lot of internals, you can actually get quite.
You'll go through that.
In theory, it should be able to go through that. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to give, I know that X ships are going to have a lot bigger volleys, and I didn't want these things to be eggshells, where, with, or I shouldn't say, eggs with tank armor around them, and if you don't get through the armor, nothing. You do get through it, it just dies instantly.
Oh, understood. But yeah, I definitely think you got some good ideas here. Overall, when it comes to the systems, some of them, as I said, I don't quite agree with, like the energy allocation and how that dynamicism is added. Not quite sure I agree with that part of it. Some of the other ones I definitely think are awesome ideas. The stability field, I like the idea. If I'm not sure about the number of boxes per roll, if it should all just be one, or it should be the dynamic thickness depending upon the die roll. Obviously, it's just one thing that had to be tested out. I like the idea of the damage reduction field, factor, sorry, factor, as coming from basically the Omegas. I think it's the Omegas. Was it Omegas or
Which
no, it wasn't Omegas. It was
one was this again?
the LMCs. What it is, it's from
Oh, the outer shields.
Outer
Yeah.
Shields. That's from the LMC.
That's where that came from. Oh, damage. Yeah. Now, the damage reduction factor, unlike Ken's ideas, where you get your full damage reduction factor back at the end of every volley. Like, now it comes back at the beginning of every turn.
Understood. But and the idea of the amount of basically double power. Each box represents 2 points of power instead of 1 point of power. I really like that idea, you know. And overall, I see some good things here. I really do. The question is some of the more crazy ideas, how those would actually work out. Obviously, this is one thing when next time we get together, maybe we should try playing a game with the second generation X-Ship rules and see how they work.
That's what I'm writing them for, is I'd like to take a standard Fed Heavy
mm-hmm.
and a standard Klingon, and we can go at it. Now, the one thing I said was, I think for the Fed Heavy tournament cruiser, I think I'd like to add the G-Rack.
Right. Well, that's what currently is part of the standard Federation cruiser.
Yeah.
For
also made Wild Weasels partially leaky.
You added leaky Wild Weasels? Is that what you said?
Yep. They don't always work.
That's an interesting idea.
Some drones will go for them. Some seeking weapons will 50% chance.
Right.
So you've got seeking weapons out there. You launch a Wild Weasel.
Right. They're acting more like.
50% of them say, yep.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're acting more like chaff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus the old powerful. Yeah, the Wild Weasel and everything goes chasing after it. I'm thinking about the SWACs. Dang, those things.
Mm.
The ultimate Wild Weasel right there.
It's getting late.
Yep.
Yeah. Sadly, it's getting late. And I need to get
I was shutting down as it was.
Yeah.
I was trying
All right.
to wrap
I'll
it up.
See you next. Possibly yep. next. Next week, probably not. Next Thursday is a flying day for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, safe travels then.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. So, had a nice little discussion about second generation X ships. I was actually kind of hoping Gary would stop by and we could discuss the Juggernauts, but obviously that didn't occur. Hopefully Gary will be by next week and we can discuss the Juggernauts. I bought all the captain's logs. So that online, so I got the electronic versions so that we can go through the SSDs here, talk about the rules, talk about some of the other things which I know Gary wanted to talk about, which is the whole idea of Juggernaut as a campaign player, or a campaign empire, and how that could work, which I think would be quite interesting. Now, obviously, some of the history behind it might have to go by the wayside, but in any cases, I think it would be an interesting talk, and I can't wait to have Gary back so that we can discuss the Juggernauts, because I have everything ready to go through that. So, with that, I am Paul Franz. I'd bid you a good night.